I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we talk Margot's Monopoly movie,
the Mona Museum case,
and Grimes' flop Coachella set.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
Wow, I haven't done anything different, but there is something about my tits today that is...
I noticed, and that's not usually something I notice.
Oh my God,
I was like, Jordan.
Fucking have I been eating too much, like, chicken hormones or something?
Welcome back to Pop Hooters.
I usually wear, like, sports bras, but I've actually found, like, a t-shirt bra that feels nice.
We're going to get a whole new clientele watching next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey guys, so let's talk about JoJo Siwa.
Yeah. Maybe we should use our assets as an advantage when it comes to now that we have a video recording
component.
You know, like we should use it to our advantage and like be also hot and funny because
I can't promise anything.
Yeah, we started recording on Zoom if you're new here.
In the 2020 gremlin days.
Yeah, and it'd just be like us in our bedrooms looking however
derelict.
Yeah.
It's so true. Like, I genuinely thought that podcasting was the one safe medium where it's like, we can just look like absolute crap. But now it's become the most visual medium.
Absolutely.
That's how I felt about stand-up as well. I was like, finally, I can be based on, like, merit and my voice and my writing. And then that's a lie.
That's
all. People are looking at you all the time.
Yeah.
Especially as a woman.
Yeah.
Even my therapist was like, oh, I saw blah, blah, blah walking out on stage the other night. And he looked like trash. And I thought, poor Jordan.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Can you tell us who? We'll say redacted.
It's
redacted.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
My therapist goes to see
redacted.
But I also think it's part of his look, though.
To look crap.
I don't think she was like, she meant like he didn't put any effort in, like he's wearing a tracksuit. And I'm like, actually, I think that he thought about that look.
Yeah.
I think the effort behind looking like there's no effort.
Yes.
Do you guys have a costume for performing or do you just like rock up with what you feel like comfortable in on that day?
I have like a selection of shirts that I'm like, these are slightly too zany for everyday wear.
Yep, and I'm like,
that's probably a good sign that it's a good stand-up shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, I get changed so many times. I can't just get dressed. It's like worse when it's both me and Tamara getting ready at the same time. It takes forever. And I don't have like a uniform, but I'm like, I need to look cute, but like not too cute.
Yeah.
Hot, but not too hot.
Yes. And I have like things like if it's a particularly physical show, like if I'm singing or like moving around heaps, like I will do the like double layer. So I'll have like the undershirt and then I'll have like the overshirt because I know that I'm going to sweat through that first one. But it's like it's unlikely that I'll sweat through the second layer as well. You know, so you got to like sort of like triage your clothing options. Like,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll pick a uniform every year to procrastinate and I'll wear it first two nights and then I'll be like, nah, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And also like the comedy festival is one menstrual cycle.
Yeah,
I can't be expected to wear the same thing.
Yeah.
You're so right.
I look like a different person.
Yeah.
3 weeks in.
Like we need to be able to time it so that the start of the festival is the part of the cycle where you're like feeling hot and like confident.
Yeah.
Because I reckon too often for me, it's the other way around. I'm in like the worst part where I feel like bloated and fat and like I'm pregnant, but I'm obviously not. And I'm like, this is disgusting. And then I have to do a show to people and it's too much.
Yeah. And it's that feeling of feeling like inflamed. Like no one cares. No one can, no one even fucking notices. All my friends look the same to me all the time, but they'll be like, I'm so fucking inflamed right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do we think about the comedy festival being an Aries?
It tracks.
As an Aries.
As an Aries, it tracks. And like, it has been nice to have, for once, my birthday not performing and just getting to chill out.
I also just have to say, your dad is hot. a whole family is cute.
Yes.
As Charlie's dad was leaving, I was like, Charlie, who's that? Because I had a feeling you do look obviously similar.
Yes, trust a lesbian to like single out my father and be like,
Yeah. What was he dressed in?
Just general dad wear.
Okay, so he has curly gray hair.
Okay,
so he wears glasses. He's tall.
Tick.
I don't really know what he was wearing, but probably wearing like denim.
I think in your memory, you've made him so much more than what actually it was.
Is he like hot professor vibes?
Yeah, but yeah. Like he spends time in the garden. That's the vibe I got.
Yep, 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 yep.
And now you're like, no, this is not him at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It couldn't be further from him. I also love that you picked my sister from the crowd. You were like, is that girl in the vest your sister?
Yeah, well, like, you have said that your sister's a lesbian. And...
Yeah, so I saw the vest. You have the same similar hair color.
Yeah.
So that checked out. And then your brother, you have a similar...
Well, my brother is me on testosterone.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, it was so nice just to have a chill time and not like be stressed about like sales or performing. Because every year in the festival, it's always like I like plan to do something for my birthday. But then I'm like either I've got COVID or I'm like run down with my show or I'm in like such a bad mental health space that I'm like, there's nothing to celebrate.
And everybody's so all over the place and so in their own heads too. Mm. And it's just like... I can't be fucked emotionally managing everyone on my birthday.
Genuinely. Well, also, that was the thing as well. I had such a lovely time having everyone, but like, I hate hosting so much.
Mm.
I think people, especially with like stand-ups, they're like, oh, you're an extrovert. You fucking love it. And it's like, I do love being around friends, but I love being at somebody else's birthday, you know?
Yes.
Because like hosting's quite stressful, like because you feel obligated to make sure that you're kind of splitting your time equally and making sure you see everyone. And
but like really what I've realized now going to birthdays like that is nobody minds. They understand that as the host, you have to like float around and probably won't spend equal time with everyone.
Yes.
And because at yours, especially everyone knows each other since it was majority comics and like...
They're all chill with
you
it.
You know, everyone understands, but I know that feeling.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about weddings as well.
Like weddings are hard.
I love being a wedding guest.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, there's nothing better.
I went to a wedding on Friday and was actually on the bridal table, which is very funny, ooh, but by association, you know, because Taylor was in the bridal party.
Oh my god!
So I was just there like, ha! Just reaping all the benefits. I'm going to be in all their fucking photos and videos.
Yes.
I was sitting directly across from the bride and groom, who I know and who I love, but I'm nowhere near as close to them as other people who weren't even sitting within 30 meters of them. And I'm like, ha!
Yeah, yeah,
politics
of
a wedding.
Like, I will take the food and all of the lovely photos.
Thanks for the dessert bar.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is great. Like, being a wedding guest is a dream because you get to like dress up. You can like look cute. Dressing for weddings can be a nightmare as a guest, but at least you're like feeling good. You can run around. You can socialize unless it's like a bad wedding.
It's the dream setup.
Yeah. And I was like, and you don't like you give a gift and you contribute in some way, but like you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to like manage like family expectations too. Mm-hmm. You did it the right way, Aurelia.
I wouldn't do it any other way. We got film developed that we took at our bachelorette party, which, our hen's party, I guess, but we had a hen's party, but we're already married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just bowling and like all the photos turned out kind of like cute but cooked because film cameras are so hit and miss. And now I'm like, oh, I need to take more film photos, but it's actually really expensive.
It's so expensive.
It is. It's like we're trying to do a good thing and like be retro and fun and not
like in the moment and off our phones.
Give me that phone.
Yeah, I know.
I took a disposable camera with me to America when I went there when I was like in 2017 and took so many photos, got them developed, was so excited. I was like, these are going to be so cute. I'm going to put this on Instagram. Everyone's going to lose their fucking mind. And they're all so dark. They're like the only ones that work are the ones in the day because I just didn't want to turn the flash on at night because I didn't want to get anyone's like, I didn't want to draw attention.
Yeah.
But it's, you need flash at night, especially when you're working with like a disposable camera, you dumb bitch. Like, it's okay.
It's kind of like the universe saying like, this is meant to just be a memory. Like, you're not meant to have this as an image.
Yeah.
And it's probably for the best because I probably looked fucked, you know?
Yeah.
If it was like out clubbing or like, you know, at some nighttime
event. Oh my goodness. Event. I was talking about when you'd go to a club and you try to get the attention of the photographer.
Oh my God.
And then all the photos would come out on Facebook the next day. And
yes.
I used to get photos and then go onto the Facebook thing and I wasn't in the album.
Oh,
the
you
night.
Didn't make it.
Didn't make the cut.
Oh, there was such a crushing feeling. And just like the time loading the photos because the internet was slower.
Yeah.
Or like using my phone and just be on Facebook and it'd be so slow.
Or do you remember when like sometimes like the photographer would like show you and be like, oh, that's a good one. And you'd be like, yay, I have this great photo coming up. But like, of course, at the time that you saw it, you were drunk as fuck in a club. And then the next morning you look at that photo and you're like, I look like a fucking goblin. And like, I always famously would have like an orange stained mouth from my UDLs.
That's so funny.
So I'm like, why do I look like I've got jaundice? Like, I'm like so like haggard and sweaty and like weird shit.
It was the best of times.
It was.
Yeah. I don't think like the youth of today can fully understand. And I want to use this segue to talk about the youth of today, aka JoJo Siwa.
Representing the youth of today. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if you saw the snippets of JoJo going on Call Her Daddy.
Only snippets.
And you?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh my God. Okay.
I think my favorite part is when she goes, how old are you? And she goes, 29. She goes, that's the age that judges me.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh.
They definitely put the most provocative snippets into that promotional clip because then JoJo goes on to like explain how all of her friends are older than her. She's like, my best friend when I was 16 was 35.
Okay.
And that's, I'm like, good. That's weird.
That is really weird.
Like, I guess it's fine that you can't relate to other 16-year-olds who are literally going to high school and like doing that when you are running a business. But that was weird to me. It definitely made me understand her a bit more in terms of like she explains her whole upbringing, how she spent like 10 hours a day editing and filming YouTube content and running her business from a really young age.
Fucking hell.
But I'm still like, I still don't like her. I was listening to it and I was like, oh, that must have been really hard. Wow, she's so mature for her age. And she's saying all of the stuff that like really makes sense and like makes me understand why she's the way she is a bit more. But I'm like, I still don't like it.
I think that's fair. And I think it is also like, oh, this explains why you're not really human. Like you haven't had a normal experience in your life.
Yeah.
It's kind of like she's grown up in the Western equivalent of one of those like K-pop factories.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like you've just been like trained as a cog in this like performers, like Toddlers and Tiaras machine. And of course you're going to come out the other side as this like automaton that doesn't know how to like connect with people authentically. So it makes sense that her like journey into adulthood is like very like formulaic.
Yeah.
You know, her being like, I'm having my Miley Cyrus, like can't be tamed era.
And yeah, she said that ever since she saw Miley go through her Wrecking Ball era, I want that. And it's like, okay.
That's not how it happened.
You can't, but then you also can't go on an interview and be like, this has never been done before. Nobody's done queer pop like this when you're literally copying Miley Cyrus completely.
We don't claim her.
And then it's like, there's so much gay pop. What are you talking about? Like, educate
it's
yourself.
So weird. She also was caught saying, she was like, there's been, of course, a lot of gay pop artists before. And she started listening and she was like, Michael Jackson.
What?
And it's like, oh, JoJo, JoJo is not, he's not that. He's a pedophile. It's not.
Yeah. And then also the thing about like, what was the other thing that came out? That song was basically a cover. Not a cover, but
well,
like...
Well, yeah, it was someone... It was like from like 15 years ago. Like she had bought it from some other artist that
I
think had actually released it like ages ago.
There was a whole music video for the previously released Karma song.
Yeah.
Lyrics are exactly the same. And when she was confronted about stealing it, she said, "There's no such thing as stealing."
Which I kind of agree with. Like, she's obviously paid for this song. Like,
yeah.
But it does make me care even less about this whole thing. I'm like, wow, not only is this song cringe, you didn't even write it.
You didn't write it. So, it might apply to you, but it doesn't really feel like it. No. When you say you've done some bad things, that doesn't...
What have you done?
Like, literally nothing.
Because I don't think that she understands the discourse around her. Because, like, when she broke up with Avery Cyrus and there was this, like, whole... hullabaloo of like people, like they were hanging out as friends while Avery was still in a relationship and then they started dating and stuff like that, so there's like blurred lines and potential cheating and stuff like that. But that is like, watching that is more like, oh, I'm looking at 19-year-olds figuring out the dating world. I'm not watching it being like, oh my god, JoJo Siwa is such a crazy bitch, and like all the discourse around her has been like, oh, JoJo Siwa is a bit of a loser who's been stunted by child stardom. Like, yeah. It's not been like, does she, like, there's no signs of her even smoking weed. Like, that was huge when that moment.
I know. Piss in a pot like Justin Bieber, or do something, baby.
Yeah.
Something.
And it's also like, you could just like release a song. Anyway, I can't stop listening to Karma. So,
yeah.
Oh my God, for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's done something to me.
Yeah.
As a bitch. And like flipping between that and the new Chapel Roan song, Good Luck, Babe.
I'm loving it.
Yeah. It's so good.
She's the new Gaga.
I think so. Like, she's got real Marina and the Diamonds kind of vibes too.
Yeah.
I think she's amazing. And she performed at Coachella and it was huge.
We got to talk about Grimes.
Oh, I'm not caught up. What happened?
She fucked up her set at Coachella.
So badly.
Oh my God. Why? How?
I don't fully know. I just know that technical it happened. Have you watched the set, Jordan?
So Grimes was performing at Coachella. It has also come out that a lot of, like, people weren't clear that it was going to be a DJ set. They kind of thought it was going to be, like, a Grimes performance. And obviously she gets behind the decks a lot, but it was a bit strange as she came out and she was just playing tracks. She's playing all this music. It sounds like a regular BPM. And while she's doing it, she's just going like, out of like frustration.
And that's the performance.
And that's it. And then she goes, stops the music. And she goes, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. And she's like, the tracks are playing like 2 times faster than this person. I'm just like trying to do some maths here, but like I'm not good at it. It's not my strong suit. Like, can we get... And she was like, any DJs know what's going on here, but I can't like play. I'm not timing it out. And then she like plays the music again. She's screaming again. And she goes, look, it's my fault. I take responsibility. I finished the tracks 1.5 hours before I walked on stage, blah, blah, blah. And she's just like messy.
You're a fucking millionaire. Get it together.
Yeah. And like, you're at Coachella. Like, it is. Yeah. I understand shit happens, but it just feels so like messy.
It's so messy. Also, someone was saying very rightfully how ironic it is that Grimes, who is like a huge advocate for like futuristic tech, like she's like, she's like, I love AI, I love all this kind of stuff, and is very much like riding that wave, would then have a tech fuck up, and it's sort of like she's like blaming the tech. It's like, well, I thought you're all for this.
Yeah.
I mean, she's for it when it works.
Exactly.
I think she was just...
It's like me and cars. I'm like, cars are polluting the planet. I hate them. Like, the moment mine needs like a service. And then when it's working and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just go on the freeway. Yeah, yeah. Literally 20 minutes from mine to Brunswick. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. But it was strange to watch, and it was also like that thing where it's like, sure, take responsibility, but also like, so many people are there. I'm sure, like, I'm not saying that people who are at Coachella are like the fucking like working class of America, but no. You know that, you never, like, it's just disrespectful in a way. And I don't believe her. I don't believe that it's some weird maths fuck up. A lot of people have been like,
yeah,
you should have figured this out. It sounds like she didn't have enough music for her set. It sounded like she didn't work it out. And it was like, the BPMs are playing like, these tracks are playing like double the speed they're supposed to. And someone was like, it would sound so incredibly boring if they were half the speed. Like, it would be like doom, 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 Like, come on.
Oh my God, just put on Oblivion.
I know.
Bitch, play it on repeat.
And as if you don't have like a plan B that's like, if shit's going down, I at least just play this thing. So while I figure it out, like, come on.
I don't think she's show fit. I think she was like, I'll do Coachella, but she did no warm ups before that. She probably didn't fucking show up to tech. I could absolutely imagine everyone being like rolling their eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's this Melbourne label now under fire for going to Coachella with a bunch of influencers.
Oh, get out.
So the label is called By Bambi. I don't know if you've...
Like a fashion label.
Fashion, yeah.
I only know her because of her mother. I hate that.
I'll cut it out.
People need to know. They gotta know. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off, sometimes you're alive, and sometimes you're
dead.
We're
all human. Sometimes we bomb.
Yeah. Well, By Bambi. By Bambi. By Bambi. I think it's like one of those pandemic launch brands. They had sweatsuits, you know, for $200. Like, you know, when it's like an oversized jumper, and it's like, why is this so expensive? It's just like anyone with a little bit of money being like, oh, I'm going to get some Gildan tees and print something on them.
Yeah.
But then they also started doing like more kind of festival wear.
Stuff with tassels and shit.
Yeah.
Like tiny little bits.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny.
Small
but like
bits of cloth.
Yeah.
But like honestly, stuff Grimes would wear. Do you know what I mean? Like e-girl fashion.
Yeah. Broken floppy discs.
Like, yeah. You get
floppy
it.
Disc nipple tassels. Actually incredible.
I'm writing that down.
We're starting a business. And they took a bunch of influencers to Coachella, and people are like, oh, everyone is hating brand trips, because it doesn't make you want to purchase from that brand.
Yeah.
Also, they have a history of like underpaying workers, stealing work from interns. All of the influencers on their trip are white. And one of the people on TikTok who's like really pushed a brand is POC, and she wasn't invited, and like just all of this stuff.
Oh my god, so they've just like used them as like a as like a face, but they're not.
Basically. And then it's also like, it's not that nice.
Yeah. So they're like going to Coachella. Are they like,
they have a bus
dressing like particular artists, or like what does going to Coachella for a label even mean?
I think it kind of depends, because they're kind of not that big. So they would probably take a lot of their capital to buy flights for everyone, put everyone up, put their decal on a tour bus and go to Coachella, and then make it a fun social media experience. So they're like, people are watching us go to Coachella, dress people, so they want to buy our stuff.
And so people see them wearing those clothes at Coachella and are like, I should buy that as well.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha. They see it in like a festival environment too.
Yeah.
Mm. And then there's the other side of it, which could be like, I don't know, some like vodka brand that's kind of working with Coachella already. They're probably supplying all the drinks, and they might also invite people to get free tickets or free trips, and they have different obligations. But yeah, I think with a small brand, I don't know if it's a Nepo baby brand or not, just spreading rumors, but you know, them just like taking all their money to go on this trip and then actually losing so much support is so ironic.
Well, speaking of paying so much money to shoot yourself in the foot, can we talk about Bruce Lerman?
Fucking hell.
Who finally has been read the riot act by the most awesome judge.
So the judge spoke for 3 hours. It was 300 pages of findings of his judgment. At one point, what's that quote that he says? It's so amazing. He goes, Mr. Lerman managed to escape the lion's den, but he made the mistake of going back for his hat.
Yes.
I was like, oh.
Queen.
Yeah, that's a read.
That is a read.
In my head, I assumed that the judge must have been a woman, because I was like, that's such a cunty little snippet. Yeah. I was like, who is this like amazing bitch that like dealt this?
Yeah.
Like, and then I found out it was a man. I was like, okay, go off, king. But like, I just didn't expect it.
The library's open.
Yeah, yeah.
but it was
so satisfying.
Yeah. And I think like, thank God. Like, I mean, the criminal trial had to be thrown out because of so many fucked up reasons. And like the difference between like a civil and a criminal trial is that like the judge could go in favor of probability. Mm. Whereas when there's like with, I don't know, I could be speaking out of turn here, but I feel like with like sexual assault and stuff like that, like what is justice? The whole justice system, prison, stuff like that. You're like, I don't even know what something, someone needs to like pay the consequences, but I don't know what that is, and I don't know what the future
and the
of
stuff
that looks
that
like
victims have to go through
yeah.
in the trial itself, even if they get justice, is so harrowing.
And it has to be, if it's a criminal trial, it has to be without doubt. within, so it has to be like, the judge has to be like pretty much like 98% sure.
Yeah.
Whereas with civil cases, he only has to be 51%. Ah. And so it's a probability. So he was like, the probability that Brittany Higgins was raped by Bruce Lerman is yes, like that happened, yeah. That high probability that that happened. Which means that we can all sort of go away and like the media can be like, yeah, well, the judge found that Bruce Lerman raped Brittany Higgins in the same way that in the Ben Robert Smith defamation case, another fucking psycho man who's just like, let me just keep chasing after that hat in the lion's den. Like the same thing with him was like a judge found that he committed war crimes. But he has to pay, like, I think it's like nearly $120 million in legal fees, Robert Smith. And it is just like, don't you think it's like so indicative of like the kind of person who would do these awful things, that they would have a case thrown out like Bruce Lerman did and then go back and sue for defamation just for the sake of
it's the power.
Being right and having power.
Well, I mean, that's often why people are rapists and that kind of stuff. It's not about the sex, it's about the power. It's about the abuse of someone in a way that is like, ugh, it's chilling. And the one thing that I love in this whole situation is that, you know, someone like Bruce Lerman has paid so much money to stop people calling him an alleged rapist. And it's like, well, he succeeded.
Yeah.
Because we're not saying alleged anymore.
Like, yeah,
he's a rapist.
Yeah. And then also finding out all that money the Channel 7 spent. What do you mean? What do you mean? Like, I didn't know they had so much money, A. B. Yeah. And I didn't know they would spend it so crazily.
Yeah. They did the same thing with the Channel 7 media, I'm pretty sure, were the ones that did a lot of support or did something for Ben Robert Smith as well. So they're fucking disgusting. They're dirty.
What the hell? Like, pay me.
You could be doing so much
pay
better.
Pay me. I'll go to Piccolina Gelato.
Yes.
I'll get ice cream for everyone.
Yes.
The one, like, funny thing that's not funny at all, this whole thing has been a nightmare, but, like, kind of, I laughed at the time, was that Channel 7 producer that came forward really late in the case and had evidence about the cocaine and the sex workers and stuff like that. And like, it was revealed that, like, the morning after this big night out with Bruce Lerman, he tried to resign because he was so ashamed.
Oh, my God.
He was like, I got to quit. And they declined his resignation. And were like, it's okay.
Everyone,
like,
does it.
It does it. Yeah. You should see some of the shit we usually do.
They could decline someone's resignation. They were like, no, babe, stay.
Yeah.
This toxic work environment. That's normal.
You need.
You love it.
You like gaslit into keeping your job.
Yeah.
And also the texts as well from people at Channel 7 being like, boy, do I have a yarn for you. And I was like, that is the most relatable thing that's come out of this case. It's just, I could imagine us going out with some fucked up person, giving them, filling them with drugs, taking them like all over the place. And then being like, guys, we need to have a drink. I've got so much gossip.
Yeah.
Doing a bit of a gear shift here, did you guys see this week that Margot Robbie's like production label or studio is making a Monopoly movie?
Jesus Christ.
And everyone's been like making jokes about it, being like, oh, like, what's next? Like, she's going to be doing games about like the Twister, like, you know,
Uno.
Like, yeah, Uno attack. And like, someone was like, oh, the next movie that she'll be doing is the Lizzie McGuire 2005 brand of like Colgate toothbrushes. You know, it's like, what's happening?
What is going? Well, I hope that they talk about the origin story of Monopoly, in that it was invented by a woman and it was designed to showcase the dangers of capitalism and late stage capitalism. And then it was bought and stolen. I think it was stolen. I could be wrong, but it was stolen by that company that owned Monopoly, like the little guy with the hat.
Oh my God.
And made to be a game about how you can win in capitalism and stuff like that.
Wow. And then it's probably been bought by Nestle and Commonwealth Bank and Amazon. Oh, yes. Allegedly.
Yeah. All the good ones.
RuPaul fracking enterprises.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He's fracking on Regent Street.
Well, that actually sounds like an interesting story.
Yeah, but I doubt it's about that.
Yeah, I think it would be like the Barbie movie vibe.
Yes.
Like, capitalism is bad, but if you don't do it too hard, it's okay.
Yes. But maybe we'll get like a beautiful Billie Eilish bop that will get nominated for another Oscar.
Yeah.
That'll be like, you know, owning houses.
It'll be like, you know, in the movie when they have like all the, they always play like flashes of actors when they're younger and yes. stuff like that, all the young actresses, but it's just like everybody getting their Dolomites. They're kids. So funny. That was a big scam. Oh, I don't think you would know about this Dolomite scam.
Wait, did you get a little savings box in the bank account?
Yeah. And that was through Commonwealth Bank, and it was like supposed to like, and they were allowed to go into schools and give kids Dolomites accounts and stuff like that. But what it was like linking people to, they just had Commonwealth Bank accounts because they were like, oh, I already have that. So once they were ready to make money, it was just catching them.
Yeah. It was the Happy Meal of banking.
It was.
Wow. Okay. So they're like the sales funnel, start them young.
Yeah.
Start them young. Yeah. It's wild.
Well, this actually just reminds me to do something I think we should all do, which is reevaluate our superannuation, our electricity contracts, internet providers. Like as I'm saying it, I'm giving myself the ick, but I feel like I could be saving money.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips?
There's a government website where you can log into your ATO account and compare supers as you're logged in. So it's vetted by the government because that's something I want to do since we've been talking about super in the last few weeks. So you can compare whether or not you're getting ripped off because there might be like hidden fees or insurances. There's currently a lawsuit against Rest Superannuation, My Super.
My Super too.
Oh my God. Okay. So if there was a period, I've saved it. I'll send it to you. If there was a period where you didn't work, but you were still charged for a certain insurance, you may be able to join the lawsuit.
Oh, class action, yes. Baby.
All my retail babes with Rest.
Oh my God, I'm going to live my Erin Brockovich fantasies. Yes.
And then we'd probably get like $30.
Oh my God, if that. I literally got, because I used to work for like Big W, which is like under the Woolworths banner. And like there was some kind of like pay dispute from like maybe like genuinely 10 years ago where it was like for a period of a couple months, something happened where people were sort of like ever so slightly underpaid. And I still to this day, I'm getting emails being like, we've sent that 30 cents to your account.
Calm the fuck off.
It's like, here you go, Charles. Here's your 30 cents. And I'm like, leave me alone.
It's like the Orange is the New Black girls getting their checks for it still being played on Netflix. It's like 30 cents. Thank you.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's how little they're getting paid.
That's so grim.
Yeah.
But then again, they do have like an ensemble size of like 200. You know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah, they're being mean.
Yeah.
They should get 30 cents.
But you're so right. You should sit down and go through. So I changed my super like 3 years ago and I always thought it was going to be a big hassle. It's actually really not. You just open up a new account. Then you consolidate all your super accounts into one. You should only have one account. You're actually losing money by having a few different super accounts. And then it's all done.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to work on a sponsorship for us.
I don't know what you just said, but it was like watching Rain Man. It was beautiful.
Because I think we should be giving people financial advice.
We should.
We should have...
Everything we say here is contractually, legally, financially binding. Please take it to the bank.
And alleged.
Alleged. But always worth looking at what your super is investing in.
We're talking so much about like suing and stuff like that. What's going on with Mona?
Oh my God. Okay.
So Mona
the art gallery.
The gallery, not the person.
The Tasmanian art gallery owned by a guy who loves to gamble and has 3 Teslas.
Sue me.
Well, but...
And he got sued because there's a section of Mona where they only had women-only entry.
Is that the shit machine?
I think that was men only. But this guy sued because he, you know, he should have access to everything like a man does. And basically they took it to TCAT. I don't know.
Some kind.
VCAT?
No.
But for Tassie.
It's in Tasmania.
Oh, for Tassie, of course.
Or the Tasmanian Tribunal. And they ruled that he won because he wasn't able to see certain artworks that were only in the women's only section, which include a Picasso painting, which why is that in the women's section? He's a sexist. Nonetheless, they lost because they argued that he should be able to see it. And
so for like, what was the case for? Like exclusion or
discrimination.
It's unlawful to not allow him in.
Come the fuck on.
But what's interesting and what, because it might move to the High Court now. Ooh. And what's really interesting is that if that goes through, that it's unlawful for this man to not be entered into the women's thing, then all of those men's clubs, you know how there's exclusive men's clubs around Australia?
Yeah.
That would be considered unlawful. Like it,
bitch, let's do it.
So it's like this big, it's like, oh, you played yourself.
Yeah.
Welcome, Bruce Lemon. Yeah. Brethren.
Literally.
Oh my God.
And then when they showed up for the case, did you see the photos of this? I can't remember her name, but they were all wearing like navy blue or like dark colors. They all had pearls on and they walked into this a song as well.
Oh my God.
And they kept
the performance art.
Yeah. And every so often they would like bow or hum or something, but they did something all in unison, which is so drama school.
Yes.
And the judge got so pissed off.
I was going to say.
Just stop. But it was like nothing they did was illegal. They were just doing it in unison. They would all like look.
Is it a crime to be fucking annoying?
Is it a crime?
I mean, if so, luck all three of us out.
I know.
Now.
But amazing. And the performance art continues. And I was like, I know this is just going to get turned into a movie one day, right?
Genuinely.
Oh, true. With Margot Robbie.
Yes. Representing the other side.
Yeah. She's the lawyer. Yeah.
It's a story about a poor man who was victimized.
Yeah.
She's doing The Sims as well, isn't she?
Oh, of fucking course she is at this point.
But like that I can see. After Barbie, her acting in that was so...
Simulated?
That's the word. Yeah. She would be really good at that.
That would be good. But I'm like, what happens in it? Are they going to tell us that we shouldn't control people anymore? Because I don't want that to be the outcome.
But it just feels like she's becoming like... What's that movie with Robin Williams? Like Bicentennial Man or whatever? Where like he's like slowly becoming human. But like she's going the other way. She's like slowly becoming an AI-generated like robot. Yeah.
Maybe this is all the plan of big AI.
She might be in the movie though as well. She's just producing
them. Is just producing. Yeah, because she's like the money honey now.
She wasn't going to be Barbie. Yeah. It was going to be Amy Schumer.
Oh, thank God for that.
Few people I like less.
While we're still on the Mona thing, I fucking love Mona and I love weird artists and I love that this could possibly end in that high court story about
Think that's true. I get, correct backfiring. Me if I'm wrong, listeners, please.
No, it feels true. So I'm gonna roll with it. But I also, did either of you watch the most recent season of Aussie Survivor?
No, but I've heard incredible things.
It is genuinely amazing. Okay. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched Survivor, either of you.
No. I watched like an episode or two because I was like, I should apply. And
oh my God.
I need to like acquaint myself.
Okay. Well, when you apply, because I'm manifesting, please consult with me.
Yeah, you can be my consultant.
I will teach you the strategy to fucking win.
Oh my God.
You should apply as well, Charlie.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, I wouldn't survive.
They always have what a strategic.
What do you mean?
I just, like, my strategy would be amazing, but just, like, physically, I couldn't do it. Like, I just couldn't sleep on those bamboo reeds. I couldn't go without.
Do they get sunscreen? They would legally have to have sunscreen.
I think they do.
Yeah, they probably get condoms too.
Condoms for lip balm.
Yeah, the Squid Game of it all.
Yeah.
Dressed by little Bambi or whatever. Bambi's mom.
Bye-bye, Bambi. what was I talking about? Oh, Survivor. Yeah. It was a really great season. If you're into amazing reality TV, definitely worth a watch. Really high budget and the cast is fantastic. Anyway, one of the cast in this season was, I think, like an art director from Mona.
Mm-hmm.
And he was everything you would expect of an art director from Mona.
Yeah.
And he was lovely, very gay, and very, like, sleuthy on the, like, social strategy part of the game. But it was, like, a big part of Survivor is that you have these two tribes, and then roughly at, like, two-thirds of the way through the season, they will merge.
Mm-hmm.
And making it to merge is considered for, like, Survivor fans, like, a big thing. It's kind of like, I've ticked it off my list kind of thing. So most of the players are like, if I can at least get to merge, like, I feel like I've done a good job.
Mm.
Anyway, they finally get to merge. And then this guy, he quits, basically. And he says that, like, it's too much... It's too emotional for him and he wasn't ready for the sort of like how much he was going to be affected by all the like tactical social stuff and it was doing his head in, which is fair enough, but it was weird that it happened after merge because it's kind of like you've already been playing that game and doing all of that to get to this point that like, you know, so many of the players are like, I just want to get to merge sort of thing. And then he finally got to merge and then he was kind of like, you know what, now's where I'm going to draw the line and have this kind of theatrical exit.
That's so funny. So did he like vote himself out?
Well, they went to tribal council and he was just kind of like, I'm leaving. Like, I, you don't even need to vote because I'm out. Oh my God. Sort of thing. And then...
Cosima DeVito.
Yeah, it was like that. And it was, like, sad. And then they were all kind of like, you're a legend. Like, and good on you for supporting your mental health. And then they had, you know, like, a Beyond Blue thing at the end of the episode that was like, if you're suffering with mental
thanks
health...
Thanks for spilling.
Yeah. Imagine, Mama Beyond kudos Blues. For saying that.
Lifeline. Mama kudos for saying that. Yeah, for spilling. Yeah.
But it was just a very theatre school, art school kind of thing. Because it was like, I can totally understand getting into a reality TV scenario like that and being like, wow, this is so much more full on mentally than I was expecting. But to go like so much of the way into the competition and then be like, now I've decided that it's like that. It was a bit strange.
I feel like most of us go through that in so many situations at work where you're like, fuck, I hate this job. Like something awful happens at work and your relationship and a friendship, but you're like, oh, I've invested so much time. It's like the cost.
Sunken
cost fallacy.
Yes.
And most people just push through. Mm. But yeah, I will kind of say kudos for like not doing that.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I always find those things really inspiring of just being like, oh, you were killing it or you were so close and you were like, no, it doesn't serve me anymore and stuff like that.
Mm.
Like,
it's like Adore Delano in All Stars 2 where she's just like, this ain't for me, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
like they literally had like Michelle Visage like cornering her with a camera in her face being like, Adore, please stay, I am begging you. And Adore's just like, no, my mental health isn't there. This isn't good for me.
Bendela not feeling as well. It.
Goodbye.
Mm.
Yeah.
Bendela Creme leaving, just being like, I'm done.
Yeah. Although that was kind of cunty to dominate the competition, have the most wins in All-Stars history, and then be like, have a good one, guys. I'm out.
That is really funny. But it feels like, I guess, like, it's the same with, like comedy as well. Yeah. Like, it would be hard to quit now because of sunken costs.
Yeah.
Love to see those come back. But I felt that way when I decided to, like, quit pursuing musicals as well. Like, part of me was like, oh, but I have to, like... I spent so much money on singing lessons. I've dedicated like my life and I've got like 20 grand in hex debt.
Yeah.
It's a very cheap degree.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's not too bad at all.
Yeah.
For 5 days a week, 9 a.m. till 6 p.m.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, could you be a singing teacher?
You could. Oh, I couldn't. I can't play piano.
Oh.
Yeah. Rip. So yeah, there's nothing I can get.
We'll start you a Todrick GoFundMe.
Yeah, thank you. But it was like, yeah, there's things that like stuff like quitting. It's like you moved countries. That's not quitting, but it is just like, I'm going to try something else.
So true.
Yeah.
Would I do it again? No. Yeah.
You have to stay.
It's too much packing.
Mama, kudos for immigrating. For spilling.
For flying.
For paying for the $7,000 visa.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, my God. It is grim.
Did you see as well? Oh, OJ's dead. Hooray.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
How do you think Chloe is feeling? Apparently she's being trolled on social media, which I think is like too much. Like,
yeah.
If he's not her father, at least he's like a family friend. And if a family friend of mine died and you're like, oh, my comments, like.
But Nicole Brown Simpson was her mum's best mate. So it's like, I don't think they care. And her dad as well allegedly distanced himself after the court case and apparently got into, and this is all hearsay, but they say that he thought OJ was innocent when he got involved. And then as the case wore on, was like, he fucking did it.
I always wonder about that with lawyers and like defense attorneys going for the people who have allegedly committed a crime, because I could not be... You know, if I found out that I had to work with someone who actually murdered someone and defend them in court, I'd be like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah,
like, totally. I'm sorry.
It does seem like certain people seek it out almost.
Yeah. You're right.
And you can't do a bad job because then they can appeal and say that they had bad representation.
Yeah, I would be the worst representation. I'd be like, Your Honor, my client did that shit.
Dibba dobba. Did you see this? Well, that there was... like OJ had a book that was called If I Did It.
Yes.
And the family of the Nicole, Goldmans. Is that her name?
Yeah, but I think it was the Goldmans who was the guy who was killed as well.
Oh, okay. They basically had like jurisdiction or whatever it is over like how the book was presented. And so they were like, you can only call it that if the word if is made absolutely tiny. So on this book cover, it looks like it says I did it.
Yeah.
And then there's a tiny, tiny if. And they were like, legally, that's the only way that we're going to allow you to make this book.
That is so funny.
Yeah. Wow. And then they added like a little tagline that was like Confessions of the Killer or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they're like, you can have your little book, but you're going to call it this.
If you look really closely in like 0.5 font, it says Alleged Killer.
Yeah, yeah. It just feels very like a little bit like, I don't know, like primary school being like, killer says what?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck, it's wild. It is just like such a sad story when you get into it. And then like, and just like the whole court case taking like what, nearly a year? It was all televised. It was the first time they did a televised thing. And such that's probably like part of the reason why. And like it took ages to find a jury because they couldn't find anyone who didn't fucking know who O.J. Simpson was. And O.J. Simpson's, both teams were just rejecting anyone. Mm. And there was like weird racism from the prosecution side as well. Mm. Plus like manipulation. It's so fucking... It's such a microcosm of what's the world is like sometimes.
Mm, there's a podcast I want to listen to, which is, I think, a 6-part breakdown of the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial, which was also one of those televised ones, which I honestly feel like should be illegal.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, like, apparently Johnny Depp did it in a certain state because he could get it televised. Yeah.
And that was part of the whole humiliation and, you know, making her suffer.
Fucking asshole.
God, this is the episode of Scumbag Man. Honestly.
I'm in such a bad place with them.
Yeah.
At the moment. And same. I know that there are, you know, hashtag not all men, Charlie. But
it's somehow always a man.
Yeah.
You're yet to let us down, but I am wary. And
Colin Firth.
Yeah.
Wait, what did he do? Oh, my God. As in like- But you know what? I'm like not even surprised anymore. Do you remember when
not all men, Colin Firth?
Oh my God. You're like, yeah, it's always the ones where you're like, no, he's nice or something. Yeah.
It's like when everybody got so like up in arms about John Mulaney, when I was like, and I don't even think that John Mulaney deserves to be cancelled. I think he fucked up and he sounds like a bad person to date, but he hasn't actually done anything that I know that's been public that's bad.
Exactly. Like we all have a John Mulaney type man in our life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just not close friends with him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's also just like, what did you think, guys? Like this is a famous man.
Yeah.
This is a famous male anyone comedian. Anyone who's
a wife guy is not a wife guy.
Yeah. And she has a book coming out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I really want to read it.
Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be about.
But... it's not a big, she doesn't talk about John, just so you know.
Oh man. I was hoping she would spill the tea.
Okay.
That's going to affect sales.
Yeah. Well, Godspeed. I won't be reading that book. shall we do our pop or flop for the week?
Yes.
I can actually kick mine off with a flop, which is Colin Firth, actually.
Oh, what happened?
He has said no to returning to Bridget Jones's Diary 4.
Oh, you know what?
I'm furious.
I am mad, but I get it.
I get it too, but it's like, come on, baby.
Give it to us.
I need it so bad. I love Bridget Jones's Diary as a franchise.
Yes.
And even though it has absolutely dropped off and become mess at this point, but I'm like, I will take it. Give me 10 seasons. Give me the RuPaul expanded metaverse version of Bridget Jones and I will watch that shit.
Apparently the hot young blonde guy from White Lotus, the one who's like...
Oh, the gay one that got married.
Wait, no. Which season?
The season 2, and he's in One Day on Netflix. He's the kind of chav guy who's sleeps with Portia.
Yes, yes,
and then it turns out
he's fucking his uncle.
Yeah.
Uncle.
Yeah.
But apparently he's like the love interest.
For
Bridget.
Okay.
What? That's kind of fun.
That's funny.
That's kind of fun. Because he's like in his 30s. It's not like a 22-year-old
or whatever.
So she's
like a cougar now.
Yeah. And I love that.
That's hot.
But I will
bring
miss
back
Colin
Firth. Maybe they're doing that thing where like he is in it, but like we'll get like a surprise like cameo.
He died on a Peloton.
Yeah. don't Aurelia.
If he's not in it, they'll
take
kill
it back.
I won't.
Anyway, that's my flop. Colin, sort your shit out, get back on that movie, and please give me the wrap-up to that series. And also, like, I don't want them to kill him off and then to continue this series, like, without him.
You love him.
I do. That's my flop.
I have a pop this week.
Nice.
This is a throwback inspired by you, Jordan. I've been watching Sex and the City.
Oh, you're welcome.
Because I've seen like a few episodes, but I've never like really watched it. Like, you know, like now I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch more episodes just in the background as I'm doing other stuff.
It's perfect for that.
It is perfect for that. It has aged really badly in some ways, but I can appreciate that. You know, yeah. I feel like there's people who are like, well, this is like not up to today's standards, so I'll never watch it again. And I'm like, well, it's obviously it's not. It wasn't made today. Why would I have these expectations?
Yeah.
And putting all of that aside, I actually think it's really funny. Like the way they talk about stuff would never fly now, and I do think that's kind of funny.
It's great, and it is objectively great.
It is objectively great. The outfits are good, and yeah, just getting some like home inspo.
Are you starting at the start or just sporadic with it?
I'm in season 4 now. I've seen some of season 1, but I'm just going to go with that for now.
Yeah.
Because there are so many, so it's not like I'm going to run out.
I find watching Samantha genuinely really inspiring.
I love her.
Like, I love the way, like, of course she's like sexually free and stuff like that, but I just also love the way she approaches friendship and like how she sort of doesn't hold grudges and
she's
stuff
the best
like that.
Friend.
I'm like, yeah, you can just sort of like let it go and like be supportive and blah, blah, blah. And it's not about you all the time.
Yeah.
It's fun.
The ranking of friendship scale goes Samantha, Miranda, Big Jump, Charlotte, Big Jump again, Carrie.
yeah.
Whoa, Carrie sucks.
She's awful. But that's fun. That's the fun part. That's how bad she is.
An unreliable narrator. It's that kind of thing where it's like, Carrie being and making messy choices makes for great television.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. For me, it's Carrie, Rory Gilmore, Tony Soprano. Three. And Hannah Horvath. They're my like four like
although
complicated
I've never
leads.
The Sopranos.
Neither.
It's really great.
I need to.
It's like, and I like, it is like, I know there's a lot of like, you run the risk of being a pick me girl, being obsessed with The Sopranos, but it's fucking good. But and it's also
we don't have to worry about that.
We don't.
Yeah.
We don't. And the first season for me was harder to get through, but do you know what got me through? Carmela Soprano's outfits.
Okay.
I was like, I just want to see what she wears every episode. And then I was hooked from there. My pop this week is actually going to Chapel Roan. Just that. I know we talked about it earlier in the episode, but that Coachella performance and just the song Good Luck Babe is so funny. It's such a great snarky like breakup song as well. Just being like, she's got this whole bit where she's like, and when you lie in his bed with your face in his hands and you realize that you're just his wife, I want you to look in the mirror and see me and know, see me in the mirror saying, I told you so. I hate to say it, but I told you so.
Yeah.
And the fact that the song's called Good Luck Babe, I'm like, it's like, spicy.
Yeah.
I love it.
I see big things for her. I really do. She's doing the right stuff. Like the reason that I especially see her in a Gaga vein is that like when Gaga was starting, she would do really strange kind of like acoustic-y performances like in like coffee shops and like random stuff like that. And proving that she is a performer first and foremost.
Yeah.
And like not high budget and like, you know, really like studio auto-tuned and all that kind of stuff. Because if you can prove that you can get a crowd going, then of course when you throw billions of dollars at it and make it into like a high-end spectacle, it's also going to be amazing.
But
some of these like pop stars that come out the gate with a very like polished thing from the get-go, it's kind of like, yeah, but once we get you on a stage, what's it going to be like?
It's like Tate McRae.
I don't even know who that is. Sorry to this man.
Very polished.
Doing my research later to have someone else to hate on.
Bye, guys.
Love it.
Bye, friends.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
1 to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.